this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. Here we are high atop a beautiful Tower of Hope at Christ Cathedral. And wow, am I excited. I am on fire. Fire light, fire heavy, fire everything. Because we have A-Lob with us, Andrew Laubacher. Welcome to the show, Andrew.
Good to be here.
It is awesome, man. I just love being around you because I feel like I'm around Jesus when I see you. And because you're on fire, and as we take a look at Luke, and we're going to Scripture right away, Luke 12:49, I've come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. And that's what fire light's all about. And by the way, I think I hear, you know, a lot of people excited in the background somewhere, you know, listening to us and to you in particular. But tell us about the genesis of Firelight and what's that about.
Yeah, Firelight is a new ministry here popping up in Orange County with yourself, Spirit-Filled Hearts, with Deacon Steve Greco. And essentially, on the road traveling, playing music, I just saw a need for evangelization for young adults in almost every city I was in almost every state. Just a real neglecting spirit for young adults, I mean, in the church. And there are people doing great things out there. There are people doing things, but as a whole, you know, we're hemorrhaging, we're bleeding out. People my age, 27 years old, are not seeing any relevance with the gospel, and I think it's a real problem. So I kind of felt in my heart just a real tug from God to really change a city and to start somewhere where we can really invest in young adults, have young adults experience the power of the Holy Spirit, because I really believe young adults just, we're tired of the talk. We're ready for an experience of this Jesus that we talk about. I think everyone is. It doesn't matter how old you are.
Amen.
I think everyone wants to know that this whole Jesus thing is real. So Firelight pretty much started just from seeing a major need in the church and not seeing a lot happening. And yeah, God brought us together.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And this has been a pretty amazing journey, and it's just beginning. But essentially, we'll be doing worship nights where they're not just worship nights. You know, we're going to be praying for miracles, praying for the gifts, praying for the fruits, confession, prayer teams, highest quality worship we can bring. And we'll be having Bible studies, small groups, feeding the homeless, getting young adults excited to live out their Catholic faith again.
And it's so critical, my brothers and sisters, when you say yes to Jesus, you gain everything and lose nothing.
Yep.
And that whole concept of really being all in, the devil whispers in your ear and says, oh, you're going to give up all this. And I know the devil did that to you. And, you know, the devil would say things like, oh, you're not going to have any friends and so forth. And the devil's a liar.
Yeah, 100%. I think a lot of people, including myself, I have in my life, we've been thinking like Satan. You know, when we are discouraged, when we are thinking negatively, when we are, you know, thinking condemnation and guilt and shame, that's how Satan thinks. I mean, we are thinking more like the devil than we are like the Father. And I don't think there's any thoughts that should go through our head that aren't going through the Father's head about us. Like his thoughts for us are countless, right? There's thousands of moments throughout the day that God is just pouring out his love over us. And that's how we're supposed to think. We're supposed to be heaven-minded. And I think there's a lot of lies that young adults are believing with just a lot of different, you know, needs of the flesh that we really believe that, man, if we're not going to the right parties, or if we're not traveling the world, and if we're not super successful now and have amazing, you know, followers on our Instagram, then we're like not worthy of love, or like, oh, we're not in our vocation yet. Like, man, we're just freaking out. And I think we really have to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. And that is like the number one thing that I see missing a lot in people's lives who are Christians, who are Catholics, who have the faith, is, man, we're not thinking like heaven. And I think we need to start having the mind of Christ. We talk about that all the time. Put on the mind of Christ, but what was his mind? His perspective was heavenly, and I think we need to put on the mind of Christ and actually see situations, see issues, see problems the way that he did, and interact with them the way he did, which he walked in boldness.
And we pray, my brothers and sisters, probably every day, hopefully every day, if not many times during the day, the Lord's Prayer, on earth as it is in heaven. On earth
yes.
as it is in heaven.
I was so just listening to that today.
Amen. So it's not like we have to sit here and wait until after we die and so forth. We bring down the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
With tongues of fire upon us.
Yes.
And then everything changes, but it takes that yes. Tell us your story. Tell us your testimony, because you had a lot going for you. Obviously, infinitely more now. But,
yeah.
you know, you were one of the popular kids and surfing and all that stuff. Where'd you grow up? Tell us your testimony.
Yeah, I grew up in Ventura, and two awesome parents. Grew up Catholic. You had to go to Mass because you had to go to Mass. And both sides of my mom and dad's side were very Catholic. So I grew up, you know, with the faith. Really didn't have any anger or anything towards it growing up. It was just what you did. And, you know, in high school, I essentially just got caught in the crowd that was partying and doing drugs and hooking up and looking at porn, and all that stuff was just normal and cool. And I wanted to be normal and cool. And I didn't really see any attraction to faith. It just seemed like empty ritual by the time I got to high school. And I remember I always thought, like, big thoughts, you know, or like these deep existential questions. Why do I exist? Why am I here? Like, is this whole worship thing really real? This Bible thing? And I didn't feel like I was getting sufficient answers at church or at home. So the parties and the girls and, you know, the rock and roll was way cooler. So yeah, I just invested myself in all that and all the drama. And that pretty much was all throughout high school. And I hid it pretty well, you know, for my parents. But there were points where I was throwing parties at my house and getting caught and had a lot of anger inside. I didn't like myself. You know, I'm just a little dude. And all my friends, these huge jack bench pressing like 300 pounds, you know. And I'm like, I was always comparing myself. And it was, yeah, it was a really, I mean, at that time it felt free, right? I mean, there's an attraction to the things of this world because there is good in it, you know. It's not just all this horrible, you know, thing. But I really wanted fellowship. I really wanted fun. I really wanted freedom. I wanted authentic freedom. And essentially all that led me to bondage. You know, I had really bad anxiety disorder, and I blamed God for that suffering. I was like, how could there be a good God if I suffer like this? I had panic attacks all the time. Tried to use the weed and the drinking and hooking up to try and calm that down. And so by senior year, I was atheist. I didn't believe in God. Just, you know, the prodigal son, that was my story. Like, I was just gone. And, you know, graduated, and then a couple of days later ended up getting caught by the cops, you know, with drugs. And being in back of the cop car was that moment where I was like, I don't know if this is what I want anymore. And I wasn't like, oh, man, I need Jesus, you know, or something like that. But I ended up getting invited to go on a Steubenville youth conference. And in adoration and worship there, I just experienced the love of God. I don't know how else to describe it. The preaching, the Mass, adoration, the Eucharist, it all just became alive to me, and I understood my malady in my heart. I understood this sin issue that was real in my life, and I realized that I really needed a Savior. And in that moment, just said yes to God, and that was when I was 18, and just went home, and man, I just started seeking every way I could. Started reading, I started praying, I started asking millions of questions. I made mistakes, you know, I'd go back to confession, I'd make mistakes, I'd go back to confession, and just God put me on this journey of just falling in love with him. And then I went to Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio, which was a huge deal for me as a Southern California surfer dude.
Yeah, you mean it's not 90 degrees there? You
know, no, it's not perfect all the time.
Yeah, right,
they have things called seasons,
yeah,
which I didn't know existed. So, yeah, I went to Steubenville, and, man, I encountered God, the Holy Spirit there. I mean, Franciscans labeled, you know, quote, charismatic, but really they're just authentically living out the fullness of what God revealed.
It's just normal Christianity.
It's normal Christianity.
You know, 1 Corinthians 4:20, my brothers and sisters, says, our gospel is not a gospel of talk, but of power. Power. And that's exactly what it's meant to be. And, you know, you've heard Andrew talk about his testimony. How many of you could say that you have a similar testimony? Many of you. many of you. You know, you get caught up in the world because the world tries to advertise itself as being the solution. But it is a lie, and the world is bankrupt, and the world is counterfeit. Only Jesus is real. St. Augustine says, our hearts are restless until it rests in God. And you saw that. You saw that. Tell us more.
Yeah, the scripture is coming up. Luke 10:24, Jesus says, this is right after Jesus sent out the 72, which were that 72, to cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. They come back rejoicing because they were doing the works that Jesus said they would do. And he's like, rejoice, you know, not in these things, but that your name's written in heaven. I mean, that's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. But he says this here in Luke 10:24, for I say to you, many prophets and kings desire to see what you see, but did not see, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. And it's pretty amazing. Like, we're living in a time where prophets and all of these older biblical, you know, people never have seen or could experience the things that we can, which is like Jesus living in us. I mean, God wants to dwell in man. This was not something that was possible before the cross. Like the simple, I'm finding more and more the simple gospel message is so incredible when we are willing to be childlike. And right, we won't get into heaven unless we have childlike faith. But I think the amazing thing about Jesus and about living out the Christian life, and this is, I think, what I experienced at Franciscan and even after. And, you know, I watch a lot of our Protestant brothers and sisters, and I really believe that God wants the church is going to be way better together than separate. And but I think what Jesus is trying to tell us here in Luke 10:24 is that Jesus, he's the message of Jesus is himself, right? But I think what we're all really desiring, especially young adults, is purpose. You know, we want to experience purpose. We want to experience that we're making a difference, you know. And the cool thing about our gospel, about our Catholic faith, is that we have to be low, right? We have to be humble. We have to serve the needy. We have to do really not glamorous things, like Mother Teresa picking up dead people off the streets wasn't the most glamorous thing. And I think that's been a really amazing revelation to me just in my life lately, that like, man, what this really looks like to follow you, Lord. Cause everyone on our social media it's pretty funny. Like, everything in our world says, follow me. You have to click follow me to follow someone. And Jesus was the first to say, follow me, like on a really large scale. And when we follow him, that purpose, that amazing hope that never fails lives in us. And I think this is what he's talking about, that no one before, prophets and kings desire to see what you see, but did not see, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Like, it's amazing that we get to live a life in the Holy Spirit. That was never possible before the cross. That should excite people, you know?
Hallelujah!
Yeah.
You know, and your whole life, my brothers and sisters, will change dramatically when you say yes to Jesus. We're going to be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're on Empowered by the Spirit. You're going to hear more about what does it mean to say yes to Jesus. We'll be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with his love and shower us with his grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Acclaimed actress Kristen Jasek brings her inspiring play entitled Person to Person to the Freed Theater at Christ Cathedral on May 31st and June 1st at 7 p.m. This critically acclaimed production animates the life and mission of St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Tickets are available at motherteresaproject.eventbrite.com or by calling 714-282-3045, 714-282-3045.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're on Empowered by the Spirit with Andrew Laubacher. Aloff talking about this movement, this incredible ministry called Firelight. Firelight. Everything about Jesus is setting our life upside down and filled with fire and filled with passion and filled with love. As you take a look at 2 Corinthians 3, it says that as we talk about Moses, Moses had, when Moses read, a veil was over the heads of the people. But when a person turns to Jesus, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And all of us gazing with unveiled face on the glory of God, on the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the very same image from glory to glory as from the Lord who is the Spirit. So what does that mean? We have this blindness, this veil. When is that veil removed? When we say yes to Jesus. And Andrew, it's so important for me and what we're doing together through Firelight, through Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry worldwide, and certainly here in the Orange Diocese and here in Southern California. People have to say yes. And it's just, it drives me crazy because people don't want to say yes. What they do is they want, give me what I want. Give me these good things like Santa Claus, but I don't want to say, I seek you first, Lord, Matthew 6:33, and your will, your righteousness, and then I know everything else will come that I need.
All right, seek first the kingdom.
Seek first the kingdom of God, right? And what it says again in Philippians 4:19, that God will supply our needs.
Mm-hmm.
Not our wants, but our needs according to his riches and glory.
Yep.
We have to make a decision. And I know people don't like to hear this. My brothers and sisters, you'll never regret it. But whether it be a young adult, a teen, whether it be a child, whether it be an older adult, someone close to, very, very old, whatever it might be, we got to make a decision. Your thoughts.
Yeah, I think, there's this huge tension. And I experience this all the time with people I talk to. I was talking to this guy yesterday at the gym. He's like a trainer there. And he was talking about how, we're talking about like workout plans and all this stuff. And he was just sharing like how this guy came in and who had cancer. Like he was supposed to die. Like he wasn't going to live very long. And, he had an amazing faith. He like took care of his diet and he started exercising. And this guy was very... very clear that this man had an incredible faith, whom I assume was in Jesus because he was using the word faith. So, long story short, this guy is praying like crazy, exercising, eating right. He gets completely healed of his cancer.
Wow.
And, is totally fine now and still exercising at the gym. And so he was sharing this idea that, we're a body, mind, and soul, and that we need to, exercise the body and the soul. For him, it was meditation and being spiritual. But his one phrase, which I hear more than anything right now, is, I'm not religious. And I think the one thing that is so difficult for people to understand, and I think why they're having such a hard time saying yes to Jesus is because it has really nothing to do with the whole religion or spirituality idea. I think every person in this world is religious. That word religion means to bind. In the Greek, it means to bind. We all bind ourselves to something, Mm-hmm. Your religion is your atheism. Your religion is your addiction right. to working out. Your religion is blah, 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 whatever, sex, drugs, whatever. But essentially, Jesus, I think, said it best, and it's the most unattractive thing to hear is deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. I mean, whenever you say that to a public setting, that is like people don't jump out of their seats and scream and they're like, yay, deny myself. It's like not the first thing people think of because everything since the day we were born, it's been all about us. I mean, look at a 2-year-old. What's the first thing they say? Mine. Mine, mine, mine. Right. I mean, that's if there's no more clear sign of the fall, I don't know what is. So denying ourselves is a huge reason I think a lot of people don't say yes. But I think when we deny ourselves, Jesus knew that if we deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow him, #follow him, we would really experience the joy, the freedom, the peace. That's what we're really longing for,
It's really interesting because I know for most people, we just read a scripture in 1 Corinthians about how the only freedom we really have is when we choose Jesus.
Mm.
Other than that, we're in bondage.
Yeah.
We're in bondage to sin. We're in bondage to the enemy. And we have this feeling that we're going to be giving so much up. But the reality is that we get everything and give up nothing. Because what we get is we get all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We get all these graces.
Mm-hmm.
We get love. We get joy. We get everything that's possibly important. And so it's not giving anything up. It's getting everything that is important to us. But people think, oh, I'm going to have to give up. I'm going to have to give up who I am.
Right.
Different friends. And I'm going to have to give up, you know, watching that junk that pollutes the mind.
Or right.
I'm going to have to give up, you know, things that make me happy. But do they really make you happy, my brothers and sisters? Or is it just a moment, a second in time that gives you no satisfaction?
Yeah, I think that's true. And I just saw that movie, Paul the Apostle, for the second time. Oh, my gosh, it's just powerful. But, you know, seeing St. Paul, at least in this, you know, in this movie, seeing him talk about these things like, you know, to live with Christ or, you know, to die with Christ is gain, you know, like everything. Like once Paul experienced the Jesus that he was persecuting, he even says in the scriptures, like, this is all rubbish. Like, this is all vanity. This has nothing on just knowing him and knowing Jesus. But I think you're totally right. Our culture's really, we're grasping onto these really finite things. And the truth is we are made for eternal things. And I've noticed the less I'm grabbing, and this is like something God has been healing me of too, is like grabbing on to things, you know, like holding on to earthly things. But once I'm starting to realize, like, man, and I talk about this a lot with people, but life is short, you know. John Foreman, he's my favorite, one of my favorite artists. He has a song, Live It Well. Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for. You know, it's like...
Awesome!
Yeah.
It's like, do I hear applause out there?
Yeah, there it is.
I heard the one.
Yeah. No, it's like, man, life is so short. We're trying to grasp onto all these earthly things, but we were made for eternal things. And I think once we understand that and stop grasping and let go and deny ourselves, we're going to find that's the real freedom. And that doesn't mean you have it all figured out. I don't have it all figured out. I wish I had more answers to life's issues of suffering and death, you know. But I think if we're honest and when we stop grasping and stop holding on to Jesus, cling on to him, I think that's when we're going to experience so much more peace in our lives.
We see this again, as Andrew had talked about, in Matthew 16:24 and following. Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it.
Mm-hmm.
But whoever loses life for my sake will save it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can give in exchange for of life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and he will repay everyone according to his conduct.
Hmm.
My brothers and sisters, we get no profit. I will tell you, I will give my short little testimony. Senior vice president of a Fortune 25 company, president of a company, getting, you know, certain amount of fame and riches and whatever. And what did it get me? Headaches. Headaches.
Yeah.
Bondage.
Yeah.
Bondage. When was I really happy? I was happy when I was working with the poor, when I was going on mission trips, when I left the company. I was fired from this big Fortune 25 company. It was the best day in my life because then I was on the road to become a deacon, and then I was on the road to realize that when you try to climb the ladder or you try to get fame or fortune or materialism or sex or whatever it might be, whatever the devil is trying to tell you to do that's going to give you, quote, happiness, there's only one thing that will give you peace and only one thing that give you joy, Jesus over you, and that's Jesus.
Yeah, I'm looking at this scripture, John 16:33. Jesus says, I have told you this so that you might have peace in me. In the world, you will have trouble, but take courage. I have conquered the world. You
Amen.
Know, there's peace in Jesus. I think that phrase just keeps coming up as we speak. But I think even in your situation and and even in mine, and even when you're in ministry and you're serving God, like, it's really easy for it to become about you. And there's a lot of times where it's, man, you have to literally deny yourself every day and remember, man, this is not about me. Like, Jesus, this is not about me. This is about you and people knowing you. But I think there's this piece that I want to see in the church more. I want to see Christians walk around. I want to see Catholics walk around in an incredible amount of peace. So much so people are confused at why they're so peaceful. Like, they're having a bad day, quote, bad day, or they lost their job, or stuff's going wrong at home, or just work kind of sucks, but in their spirit, there's this persisting peace. I think that is possible as a Catholic. I think that's possible as Christian, and I think that's an amazing witness, because that's when Jesus is going to be made known.
Now, here's one very critical thing, my brothers and sisters. There's a gigantic difference between happiness and joy.
Yep.
Happiness is based upon circumstances.
Yep.
I'm happy for this one moment because I got this raise.
Yep.
I'm fame, whatever it might be. But joy lasts forever, and joy is based on relationship.
Yep.
Relationship,
yes,
with Jesus.
Yes.
You see, and no one can take that away. So let's assume, for example, something bad happens to you health-wise. You,
yep,
lose your job, finances, this, that, and whatever. It doesn't mean you don't have joy. It,
right,
doesn't mean that you don't have peace. It doesn't mean that you don't feel alive with the love of Jesus because you've made that decision. So here's my question to you, my brothers and sisters, whether you be a young adult or whatever age you are, how much peace do you have in your life?
Mm.
How much joy do you have in your life? Or are you living day to day searching for happiness that may come to you in bits and pieces, but never lasts?
Mm. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen.
That's true. I think that leads me, and this was on my heart too, and this has been on my heart lately, is, do we know him? I mean, this all stems from intimacy. This all, everything we've talked about today will mean nothing if we don't know him. Jesus,
amen,
even said, there, people will come to me saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out demons? And Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. I mean, I want to see dead people raised in my life. I want to cleanse lepers. I want to cast out demons. I want to heal the sick. I'm going to do that stuff. But if I don't know him and that stuff doesn't flow from relationship, this means nothing. And it's really hard in our culture to find prayer time. Like yesterday, like if I don't start my day with intimacy and just being quiet and just talking to him, my day gets away really fast. And that's just me. Prayer's been a long time struggle. It's a painful thing. I don't think anyone prays and every day it's just this glorious ecstasy. You know, it's a labor of love. But if we don't know him, and if we aren't striving to know him every day, none of this will make sense. Jesus said, you can do nothing apart from me. And I'm just starting to understand the power of prayer again and how important it is in my life. Since January 1st, you know, people make their workout plan and I'm going to lose weight. You know, mine was to actually gain weight because I'm really skinny. But, you know, another thing I really wanted to do is, like, I want to actually pray every day, like for an hour, like that Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's like, you couldn't stay with me for an hour. And my schedule's insane. You know, your schedule's insane. Like, our schedules are insane, but are we willing to make Jesus the center of our schedule? You know, and that has transformed my life the last 6 months. I mean, it's been amazing, and it's not perfect, but knowing him means everything.
Amen. My brothers and sisters, we're with Andrew Laubacher. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to find out more of what it means to say yes to Jesus. We'll be right back.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Breaking news! A new and very special guest has been added for our Holy Land cruise this July. None other than Bishop Kevin Vann.
Join Bishop Vann, along with Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in all of Christendom. Call 877-538-0010 or go online to occatholic.com/travel.
Now on DVD and digital download, a story about finding truth, meaning, and beauty in the last place they expected.
I can't become Catholic. What, am I insane? There's no way.
A film to encourage your faith and help you reach out to others.
I thought, this is just nonsense. These people are crazy. Atheism is much more rational.
Convinced, featuring over 20 of today's most interesting and articulate Catholic voices, including Jennifer Fulweiler, Scott Hahn, Abby Johnson, and Patrick Madrid. Get convinced now at convincedmovie.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are back here, beautiful Christ Cathedral, with one of my favorite people. And God just brought us together, Andrew Laubacher. It is amazing, you know, how this happens. But this is the way God works, right?
100%.
God works in which he brings people in your life that you exactly need at the exact same time and for God's purpose, for his glory, right?
Yes.
To build up God's kingdom. And this is what we're both so passionate about. Now, I look at you at 27 and the wisdom and just everything you have going for you. And, of course, you could go into the Hollywood world and, you know, maybe you did a little bit, but you could go big time into that. And you're very popular and you're a great singer and you have, you know, everything great about you. But you chose to say yes to Jesus. Tell us about that again as to because so many people are, you know, they want. Hey, I want to get up the corporate ladder I want to get all these things. And I think the big issue with young adults for me, having been a young adult, is so many times you feel this pressure. I have to prove myself.
Oh, yeah. Especially in the ministry world, you know, there's a lot of that. And honestly, I am here today as a Catholic because of grace. I mean, like St. Paul, I boast in my weakness. Like, I'm a weak dude. And somehow God is using me, you know, and I think it's honestly just because I keep saying yes.
A daily yes.
Like, I'm broken. I've messed up. I need stuff that I need to be healed from. But for some reason, I keep saying yes. And he's like, okay. I mean, somehow he looked at some of the worst people in history and he's like, I want them to change the world.
Yeah.
You know, and that's every one of us. And I think when we first start and understand that, wow, we're broken, we're messed up, we need God. Not because we need a crutch or we need something just to get through life or we need an idea to cope with pain. Like, Jesus doesn't help me cope with pain. Like, he doesn't help me cope with suffering. He actually enters into my suffering. He actually brings purpose to my pain, and he actually redeems my pain and my suffering and my ache, you know? Like, as a young adult, we have a lot of aches, you know? Like, I'm a single dude, 27, I'd love to be married now, but that's clearly not God's plan right now, and there's aches like that.
Oh, there are people dialing the phone right now.
I don't know.
We got dial for whatever right now going on here, but okay,
yeah.
Keep going.
But no, there's aches, and young adults, I think, were aching for, like, relationship and intimacy, right, and vocation. And my thing is, like, man, I would love to be for people to know that you can live in the ache and be joyful. You can live in the ache and experience freedom. You can live in that ache and serve people. And I think a real problem, and I don't have any social media anymore. I deleted that stuff a while ago. And I've had friends tell me, like, dude, how are you? Like, even my manager is like, so, like, how am I supposed to help you, like, get gigs? Because there's, like, no way to see what you're doing. And honestly, that stuff for me, man, was making me so narcissistic and making me so concerned of what I'm doing. I'm posting my shows where I'm at, whom I'm praying with. And, man, our culture is so about ourselves. I needed to, like, get away from that. And it was making it difficult for me to say yes to Jesus. My prayer life was suffering because I was on my phone so much. And I think right now what our culture is telling us is that, yeah, we need, as young adults, we need to be successful now. We need to travel the world now. We need to do all these great things now and have people know. Like, the whole thing of social media is people knowing now what we're doing now and how awesome the things we're doing now. You know? And it's so perverted. It's so messed up. It's so not how it's supposed to be. And I've experienced more joy, more peace, more freedom in the last, I think I'm going on like 9 months without any social media. No one can find ALOB except if you go to my website, you know, which I love. I love it. It's weird for our culture, for people to, like, not be able to follow me. But my thing is, like, those 5 minutes that you could maybe follow me on social media and follow what I'm doing, I want you to follow Jesus. Like, use those 5 minutes that you would maybe see where I'm traveling to, what plane I'm on this day, and use that time for Jesus. And I don't think that's like a, oh, I'm holier than you because I don't have social media. I just really want people to follow him more than me.
Amen.
You know, but I think there is this ache in us as young adults and teens to be accepted, to be known. I mean, we want people to know us. And man, if we can understand, like we were talking about earlier, if we could just know him and know that we're known by him, oh my gosh, all these things start to fade. Like, I don't really care if I ever get called again to lead another conference somewhere. Like, I'm not determined on my performance. I'm not determined on how many people show up at the events I go to. I'm not determined on, like, how many people follow me and like my music and love my albums, you know? If we become defined by what we do, oh, man, it's going to be a rough journey.
It's so important, my brothers and sisters, to, I believe, pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
Yes.
And to understand that.
I love Divine Mercy.
And one of the important phrases and concepts, I suppose, of divine mercy is this phrase, Jesus, I trust in you.
Yes.
And that's really what it comes down to.
Oh my gosh, yes. Now,
instead of believing that you're God, which is the original sin, right? Mm. Biting that apple, oh, when you bite this apple, then you'll be gods, you know? You'll think like God, you'll be God. Well, that's what we think. We think we want to be God. We want to have control over all of our lives.
Yeah.
We want to write the script and have it filled.
Yep.
And hopefully God can fill it for us or whatever. We'll do it ourselves.
Yeah.
We don't need anything but ourselves. I had once someone tell me one time, hey, I'm, you know, executive with a big company. I have a wife, a kids. I live on top of the hill. I got nothing but money. Why do I need God?
Hmm.
And so many people believe that. Maybe they don't have those things, but they want them, and they feel, well, if I have those things, then I have everything I need. My brothers and sisters, you have nothing! You have nothing! It doesn't matter how much money you have.
Yeah. We're such weak, pitiful creatures. Seriously, I think about that sometimes, like, man, a little spot, you know, I've been, like, trying to exercise again. I'm at the gym. These guys are just yoked, just huge. You know, like, do you realize you could be bit by a little spider and die, and all of your little muscle would go? I mean, we are such weak, frail, finite creatures. And I think all of these things that we're doing with the, whatever, the money or the social media or the Netflix, I'm not opposed to Netflix, but the excessive amount of TV watching and all of this stuff, it's all distracting us from our human condition of, like, of need, you know, and our frailty, and all throughout the scriptures, you know, we're just a puff of smoke. We're just literally a little puff of smoke. And what are you going to do with that little short span of life you have? Like, who are you going to live for? If you live for yourself, you're going to be disappointed. It's going to get messy. It's going to get ugly. You're going to need people to love you. You know, you're going to need, I'm looking here in John 13, you know, Jesus gives us a new commandment, right? John 13, where are we, 34, I give you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you, so you also should love one another. I'm always confused why people disagree with that. Like, how can you disagree with that? Love is the greatest thing that I think people can experience. If you don't even believe in God, I think people believe in love. I always wonder, too, like, what do atheists say to their kids at night? Hey, baby. You're just a little clump of molecules. Your life has no meaning, no purpose. You are simply just stardust. Have a great night.
Yeah, and
I mean,
when you die, it's all over.
When you die, it's all over. I mean, is that what the atheist says to their daughter or child? I mean, maybe if they actually really believe what they preach, they would say that to their spouse. This love that we're experiencing is simply a chemical reaction in the brain, which evolution has brought about, and there's really no purpose or meaning behind any words I say to you. I can't even believe my own words because I can't trust a mindless explosion 13.8 billion years ago. I mean, that's what the atheist should be saying, but instead, like, people are telling them, we love you. I love this child. I love this person. Well, where does that love come from? It's from God. God is love. His essence is love. He can't do anything but love us. I find that amazing.
My brothers and sisters, we're listening to Andrew Laubacher, A-Lob, who is on fire.
Yes.
With firelight, with Jesus on fire and saying yes to him. And one of the many things he's said that has been so profound is, where's your treasure?
Hmm.
What do you hope to get? You take a look at Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. And again, earlier than that, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth, decay, destroy, and thieves break in and steal, but store up treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor decay destroys, nor thieves break in and steal. So the point is that what is it that you covet? You have that story of the rich man or the man who had all the grain and filled up all the storehouses and so forth, and had three of them, and they're all filled, and he goes, well, now I eat, drink, and be merry, and I got it all locked. You see, that's what people think. When I get the good job, when I get all this money, and even when I get that perfect family,
yeah,
that
when
perfect
I get the
spouse,
wife and the husband and kids and, you know.
And everything's going to be great then. Well, what is it that God said to this man with the barns and so forth? He said, what a fool, for tomorrow you die. I mean, the point is, as Andrew said, we are a vapor that appears briefly and disappears. We don't know how long we have on earth, but this is what we do know. We do know that we have Jesus, who loves us, who died and rose again for our eternal salvation. And we have a decision to make. We have this huge present. You know, I love Christmas,
yes.
Right? I know you do too.
Yes.
This gigantic present, the biggest present you can ever imagine. And then could you imagine not opening it?
Yeah.
That's exactly what happens when we don't say yes to Jesus. He wants to give us every spiritual blessing, this is in Ephesians 1.
Yep.
He wants to give us riches according to his, all of our needs according to his riches and glory. He wants to give us everything, but we have to open the present.
I was just talking to someone about that analogy literally yesterday on the phone. I was like, I feel like the Catholic Church is essentially like the kid that came down at Christmas, and this is regards to the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Essentially, we came down to Christmas, we see all these gifts underneath the tree, but we don't open them because we're too afraid. Because we don't know what's going to happen when we open them. We actually don't even know that there are, that our name is on those gifts. Like, you can experience the fruit of peace. You can experience the fruit of joy. You can experience the fruit of understanding. You can prophesy. You can heal the sick. You can raise the dead. You can speak in tongues. Like, those are gifts that God wants us to open. And this is good news. Like, this is exciting. Like, this is fun.
It's unbelievable.
It's boring to live for yourself. You know, sin is boring. And we use this analogy a lot in youth ministry, but, you know, when I speak to kids, and I've heard it a lot, but sin makes you super normal. Look at all the saints, man. They were radically different, radically unique, but they were following the same God, you know? I think the more you follow Jesus and the more you start to live out the destiny that God's called you in, the more you become yourself. You know, Thomas Merton said, to be a saint is to be myself. Like,
amen.
Guess what? You get to be you as a Christian. I think some people, and I think a lot of young adults think, yeah, like, if I start saying yes to Jesus, I don't know what their image of, but they're like, I'm going to have to be in this little box to be that. But that's not true at all. Like, to be a saint is to be what God's calling you to be, which you have to discover for yourself. Like, I can't tell you, hey, this is the way that you're going to be a saint. But there are some means for us to be holy, right? We have to pray. We have to enter into the sacraments. We have to enter into fellowship. We got to serve the poor. We got to clothe the naked. I mean, there's things that we can do to enter into holiness. But man, the saints were all radically themselves and radically amazing.
Amazing. And we are called to be saints. People don't get that.
Yeah.
They, oh, not me. Yeah. At my talks, many of my talks, I'll ask people, raise your hand if you think you're holy. No one raises their hands.
Yeah.
And I'll ask, raise your hand.
God says we're holy.
Yeah. Amen. And then I'll say, raise your hand if you think anyone in the room is holy. And we have these priests there and deacons and sisters. Yeah. No one ever raises their hand. You know, they think that to be holy means never having sinned. The point is, it's what Jesus has done for us.
Yes.
Jesus' death and resurrection, when we say yes to that, to be holy means, the word means to be set apart. We're set apart for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we're happy. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're with Andrew Laubacher. We are on Empowered by the Spirit. We are on the station that gives you fire, fuego. Fuego. We are on fire
fuego.
With Jesus, and we love Jesus, and we're going to be right back to talk more about firelight and saying yes to Jesus.
Amen.
You are on Empowered by the Spirit.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gem of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102. 714-489-6102.
We're back here on Empowered by the Spirit, Deacon Steve Greco with Andrew Laubacher, who is the leader of this movement called Firelight for Young Adults. We're so fortunate to have him associated with our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts, and together we are blazing throughout the world to bring people to the kingdom of God, to Jesus Christ. Firelight means that we're saying yes to him, and we shouldn't be afraid of holiness. We should be embracing it, embracing trying to become a saint, because that's the only true satisfaction, the only true fulfillment we have is when we're striving for holiness.
Yeah, and I don't know who said this. You can maybe remind me, but the greatest tragedy in this life is to not become a saint. It's the greatest.
I think you just said it.
Yeah. Someone else said it. Someone really holy, actually.
I'm like, you?
Yeah. Yeah, but God's, yeah, it's the thing. God says that we are His, that we are holy, and our identity is everything.
Amen.
I feel like a lot of times in the church we identify with our sin, and we were never made to identify with that. Like, let's get over that. Like, we all know we're sinners. I mean, we know we mess up.
Yeah.
Let's start talking about how we're sons.
Amen.
Let's start talking about how we're daughters. You know, like, this is a big shift, I think, that needs to change in the body of Christ, is knowing who we are in Him and how that impacts our perspective in everyday situations and in everyday thoughts. You know, like, our thought life, like I said earlier, should be heavenly minded.
You know, one of the most important things, my brothers and sisters, this is your assignment. Are you ready?
Yes.
Oh, no, I don't want an assignment. Yes, you do. I want you to read Romans 8. Every day, the 8th chapter of Romans.
I'm turning to it now.
8th chapter of Romans. And the very first verse in Romans 8:1 is,
Romans 8.
There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Do not condemn yourself. Do not condemn yourself. And as you go on and you see verse 14, what's verse 14 say, my brother?
For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For we did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption through which we cry, Abba, Father.
Amen. Abba, Daddy.
Yeah.
It means Daddy.
Yeah, it's a huge revelation right there.
It means Daddy. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if only we suffer for Him, we will be glorified for Him. My brothers and sisters, people, the devil is lying to you that you're a piece of dirt or that you're not worthy to be a child of God. Jesus tells you something different. You were born to say yes to Him, to be an adopted child, in which we go to the Father and say, Daddy, Daddy, I'm yours. I'm yours. Think about that small child clinging to the parent, to the mother, to the father, clinging. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Jesus says, abide in me and I will abide in you.
Yes.
Remain in me and I will remain in you.
Yeah. And C.S. Lewis said, humility isn't thinking less of yourself. It's thinking about yourself less. Like, actually being a Christian and knowing that you can walk like Jesus did and you want to be a saint isn't prideful. I think it's prideful to think that God can't work with you.
Amen.
That's like the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, is like not believing that God, the work that God began in you, He can finish. You're like, we are a work in progress, but I think humility is actually really knowing who you are in God and walking that out in boldness. I don't think St. Paul walked around like, oh, woe is me, you know, like I'm this horrible person. Like, he encountered Jesus, went from a murderer to a believer to a healer to an evangelist. I mean, he traveled 10,000 miles on foot for 30 years preaching the gospel. I doubt people were convinced by his idea that, like, oh, I'm just this horrible person. I mean, he talked about he's a sinner, but he also talked about he was a son, and that, yeah, like, this is him talking about we could cry out, Daddy God. That is, no other religion has that revelation that God is Father.
You know, the really interesting thing, my brothers and sisters, is what Jesus says about you. Jesus said that you are holy and blameless and full of love. Take a look at Ephesians 1. It says that you are blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, chosen before the foundation of the world to be holy, without blemish before him, in love, destined for adoption to himself in accord with the favor of his will. So what does that mean? It means that you have every spiritual blessing. You are spotless. You are holy. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. And every time I say that to people, they look at me like I'm crazy.
You are crazy.
I'm crazy for Jesus.
It's crazy good. It's the crazy truth. It's crazy. It's shocking. It's radical. It's absurd, but it's true.
Jesus says we're new creations in him.
Yeah.
Jesus says,
true or it's
behold,
not.
I make all things new.
Yeah. It's either true or it's not.
It's either true. Either lying.
Yep.
He's either a liar.
Yep.
Or he's telling the truth. There's nothing in between.
Yep.
So what do you believe, my brothers and sisters? What do you believe?
And what do you, and the question really is, and I think this is what we should be praying. I've been praying this since Rocking My World. Every day asking the Father, Lord, let me see myself as you see me.
Amen.
Let me see myself as you see me. Because guess what? We're supposed to love one another as we love ourselves. If you can't love yourself and love how God made you, fat, skinny, tall, small, what color? I don't really care what color. It's like God willed your existence. In Ecclesiastes, it talks about, you know, like, man, isn't it crazy that we're existing at the same time together? Like, the time that God willed us to exist at this moment, at this time in history,
to
be on this show,
amen,
to be in Orange County, you know, or wherever you are in the U.S. or world right now, like God has put you on the planet Earth in this Milky Way galaxy for a reason at this time. And the question is, are you going to say yes?
And to put you here at this moment in time to love you,
yes,
to bless you,
yes,
to shower you with grace, unmerited favor,
yep,
to shower you with love over and over and over and over again. Most of us are saying, oh, but I'm a sinner. I don't deserve love. I don't deserve Jesus. You know, and what did Peter
say? Sure, we don't.
Yeah, we don't. What did Peter say? Depart from me, I'm a sinful man.
Right.
And Jesus said, no, you're the guy I'm choosing.
Yeah.
You're the first pope. I mean, you're the first one heading up my church.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, the bottom line, Moses says, you know, hey, I can't do it. You know, so many people, I can't do it. Yeah, you can do it by just saying yes to Jesus. That's what people don't get. It's not by your power.
Yeah.
All you have to do is just say yes.
Yep. It's Christ in us.
And then God takes over.
It's Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Firelight is changing the world. Firelight, again, is a ministry, a movement that is unbelievable. Again, for all those young adults out there, why is it so important? We've got an event coming up at Christ Cathedral, the Freed Theater, on May 24th. It will be the third event.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely incredible. And how do they get tickets?
You can go online to Christ Cathedral's website.
And it's Eventbrite, I believe.
Eventbrite.
Okay, awesome. And so it starts at 7 o'clock on the 24th.
So it's called Firelight.
Come meet
at Christ Cathedral.
Come meet Alob in person. I may be, well, actually, I won't be at that one. I'm going to be on mission in Indonesia, but I'll be at the others. But bottom line, meet Alob, meet all the people, the young adults. And what happens that night?
So essentially, it's really simple. Like, we are going to praise the Lord and experience the joy of the gospel and come together and pray for conversion of our city. I mean, I was just reading in Isaiah 60, I think today, is listening to a preacher named Bill Johnson talking about God wants us to win over cities and nations and disciple people individually. And, you know, this night is an awesome opportunity for us to simply pray and worship God through our situations, through our doubts, through our insecurities, and just give God the glory and watch Him start to shift a culture. I mean, if we don't pray, nothing's going to happen.
And it's transforming.
Yes, it's about prayer. It's about transformation.
Amen.
And it's going to be amazing, and everyone needs to go.
This radical change, this metanoia, you will never regret it. And we have reconciliation.
Yep.
Priests are there.
Yep.
We have prayer.
Yep. Prayer teams are available to pray for. If you have physical illness, we will pray for healing.
Amen. Amen.
If you have anything spiritual, we will pray for healing. I mean, most of Jesus's ministry was healing and deliverance.
Amen.
And we're called to be Christ-like.
So for all the young adults out there and whoever's listening as far as that goes, what message do you have them to them specifically that God has put in your heart, the Holy Spirit has put in your heart as it relates to their lives and saying yes to Jesus?
Yeah, I think what I would say to you, young adult, is be encouraged because there's a revival coming of the Holy Spirit that will transform your life. This won't just be something that you do to be a good person. I believe through Firelight Ministries and just what's happening in Southern California and what God's doing actually across the nation, people I'm talking to all over the nation, there is a revival coming in the church. And I know people say that all the time too, but I'm actually seeing it happening. And so for you, young adult, I want you to be encouraged and be hungry, because if you're not hungry, you won't be satisfied. And I'm excited because God is going to radically alter the Catholic Church in a powerful way.
Amen.
And it's going to start with us praising the Lord and worshiping Him and just becoming intimate Him. And the events are great. I love the events. But if they don't bring you into that secret place, if they don't bring you into intimacy with Him every day, this means nothing. But I believe a new baptism of the Holy Spirit, a new Pentecost is coming to the church, and it's gonna send people into an incredible new joy that I don't think we knew was possible.
Amen. And the Holy Spirit is behind Firelight. I've no doubt about it. The Holy Spirit is alive. Jesus says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yep.
The Holy Spirit is there. And when you say yes to the Holy Spirit, when you say yes to having the Holy Spirit released within you.
Unleashed
within you, everything changes.
Yeah. Why don't we just pray for the Holy Spirit to unleash in people right now?
Lead us.
In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Father, I pray for every person listening right now. God, you are a God of miracles. God, you are so much bigger than we can ever ask or imagine. You want to do more in our lives than we can ever ask or imagine. I pray every person right now, God, that's open, that's listening, that God, you would just unleash the power of your Holy Spirit on them, God, the same way you did at Pentecost. Father, I pray right now, even just for blood diseases to be cleansed right now in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for just healing anointing.
Amen.
To come on people listening right now. And I even just pray for that baptism of fire. John the Baptist said, I came and baptized with water. The one after me will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. And Lord, I know that you hear us and you're listening to us and you answer our prayers. And Father, we just pray for Holy Spirit unleashing on people right now, all over. Right now, Lord Jesus, all over, we pray for just newness. We pray for just healing. We pray for repentance, God. We know that your kindness leads to repentance. You're so good to us, Lord. So we just unleash your kindness on people that will lead to deeper relationship. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd fill every person listening right now with your presence, with your warm anointing, with your soothing oil, with your power, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. 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 My brothers and sisters, God loves you passionately and completely. I bless you with every spiritual blessing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You are on Empowered by the Spirit with Andrew Laubacher. We'll be with you next week at the same time. God bless you all.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio. God, I'm running for
written by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Acclaimed actress Kristen Jasek brings her inspiring play entitled Person to Person to the Freed Theater at Christ Cathedral on May 31st and June 1st at 7 p.m. This critically acclaimed production animates the life and mission of St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Tickets are available at motherteresaproject.eventbrite.com or by calling 714-282-3045, 714-282-3045.